3 years ago, we met the Peters and went from meeting them directly to our car. Rochelle and I couldn't even pull out of the parking lot because we realized we needed them in our lives. And before we got out of the parking lot, we realized that North Elevation Church needed the Peters in our lives. And so we began to talk about on our drive home, how are we going to make this happen so that we could connect with them and help them? Well, it's been a journey. In between that was COVID. And then we reconnected a year ago this month, and the Peters became one of our missionaries here in North Elevation Church. And I want to say it again, North Elevation Church, we need the Peters. So would you welcome Jamie and Leah Peters to the platform this morning.
Buonasifue.
Praise the Lord.
Tuna furai sana.
We're happy.
Kuhapa pamoja nanyi.
To be here with you.
Na wasalimia kwa lugha ya Kiswahili.
I'm going to greet you in the language of Swahili.
Huyu mama ni mtafsiri wangu.
This lady is my translator.
Sasa tunafanya hivyo.
And we're doing this.
Kwa sababu mama mchungaji wenu.
Because your pastor's wife.
Ametuomba kufanya hivyo.
Asked us to do this.
Na sisi ni watiifu.
And we are obedient.
Tunatii mamlaka ya kiroho.
We're obeying spiritual authority.
Tunasema asante sana.
We're saying thank you very much.
Kweli ni furaha kuwa hapa pamoja nanyi.
It's a joy to be here with you.
Naamini neno ambalo tumekuja nalo.
And I believe the word we've come with.
Litawatia moyo.
Will encourage you.
Litawachochea.
It will stir you up.
Mupate kusonga mbele.
So you can move forward.
Na nyinyi mufanye kazi ya Bwana.
And for you to do the work of God.
Hapa hapa mjini mwenu.
In your city.
Katika jina la Yesu.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said amen.
I do speak English sometimes. It is an honor to be here, really, and we so appreciate it. I had dinner last night with your pastors, and we had a great time of fellowship, and it's great to be here to see what the Lord has done. This is amazing, amazing. Pastor shared your testimony with us, how you came to get this facility, and in these days especially, to see what the Lord has accomplished for you here is amazing. We encourage you this morning. Move forward. Keep up the good work. God has a plan and a purpose for you here. You are here for such a time as this. And so you keep doing what God has called you to do. We'll keep doing what God has called us to do as we partner together and just believe God to see some great things happening in the nations of the world. Right here in Mansfield. Hallelujah. This is a great mission field right here, as you well know. My name is Jamie, my wife, Les. She'll greet you, too, in just a moment. We have 4 kids, 2 grandkids. The grandkids are the best. They say we should have had them first, right? I don't know but how that would work. But I think if I get the ages right, my wife will correct me if they're not. If I don't. They're 37, 32, 29, and 14. Our 14-year-old daughter is with us in Texas, but she's not here at Mansfield. She's visiting a friend of hers over in Azle, Texas this morning. And she's there. She heard we were coming to Texas. She has this friend here. Her name is Charlotte, right? Charlotte. They call her Charlie. And they're both 14 and 13 years old. And, boy, you get those two together and you can't separate them. So she heard we were coming to Texas, and so she's with us, but she's not with us. One of these days, you maybe get to meet her. We adopted Andrea. She's 14 now. We adopted her when she was 3 months old, and she has changed our lives. People say, well, you've changed her life. No, she's changed our lives, and we're very grateful to have Andrea in our lives. Everybody loves Andrea. She's everybody's favorite, and one day we'll get the chance to meet her. But we're here, excited to be here, to share the word. We'll have some testimonies and some things that the Lord has done and graced us to do on the continent of Africa. As you saw in the video, we've been serving in Africa for 35 years in nations, five different nations where we have works: Burundi, Zambia, Congo, Malawi, and most recently Mozambique. We have churches we've planted, feeding programs. Recently have done our very first medical outreach. Schools. My wife's going to tell you about some of these great things that the Lord has allowed us to be involved in. So I'm going to hand the microphone to her. She'll give it back to me, and I'll share the word.
maybe I'll give it back to you. I told him, he was sitting in the front seat there. I said, if you want me to say something, then don't say everything already when you get up there. We're church planters, which is a strange story in and of itself, because I married the pastor's son at our home church. I saw him and I said, I like that guy. And the pastor's son said, I'll never pastor a church. And ends up being a church planter with a vision to plant 1,000. I don't know how that pendulum swung that way. But we are grateful. We believe in a holistic gospel. Jesus, not only did he preach the good news, but he also fed the hungry and he healed the sick. Amen. And he reached out to the poor and to the needy. The gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone all over the world. But he emphasized, preach the gospel to the poor. We have outreaches in all our countries, but specifically in Malawi and Burundi. We have a feeding project in Malawi that began in 2007. It's ongoing until today. And we have 3 schools in Malawi right now. They're all primary schools. We're hoping that they'll go forward, because to reach the nations, we've got to reach the children. And we believe that the key to the middle class for the African is education. It's education. And when you put Jesus together with education, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. And we've recently opened our newest school in Burundi at our existing Hope Center, where we feed 500 Monday to Friday. Together, we're feeding, with both of our projects, we're feeding 800 Monday to Friday. All year round, rain, snow, sleet, or, well, we don't get snow.
No snow.
No snow. Wish we would sometimes, but we don't. But in Burundi right now, where we are statistically in the poorest nation of the world. And the poverty that we experience in Burundi, the only way to describe it is intense. It's intense poverty. But when we go into a place and God opens a door for us, we love to feed people. We love to feed children. And in our Hope Center where we are, we not only feed children, mostly children and orphans, but we do have a segment of elderly and handicapped that we're also feeding at the Hope Center. And it's a lot of hard work, but it is rewarding. Mm. It's worth every bit of blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes you do feel like you're sweating blood when you're working in these outreaches. But that kind of brings me to what was in my devotions this morning. I was reading in 2 Samuel where David was building an altar on Arauna's property, and I think it's chapter 24. And Arauna, he wanted, I don't know, it's in Swahili, Arauna. I don't know what it is in English anymore. He was offering the property to David for free, and David says, I'm not going to do anything on something that cost me nothing.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking about the scripture in Luke chapter 16, is it 17, where the servant comes in. The concordance will help me. Is that where it is? Somewhere in there. I'm close enough. The servant comes in from working, the master of the house comes in from working, and the servant prepares his table for him, his food, and takes care of everything. And Jesus says in this story that he's telling, does the master thank the servant for what he was doing, what he was supposed to do? No, he doesn't thank him, because he was just doing what he was supposed to do. And so it should be for us. We shouldn't think we should get any praise or applause just because we're doing what we're supposed to do. And so let's go on to be, the thought that comes to me is, let's go on to be profitable servants. I don't think that for any of us, when we're doing what our calling is, that we should be applauded for that. In fact, we're just doing what we're supposed to do. And here in Texas, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And in Africa, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let's pray to go on to be profitable, just not doing what's required of us. And I think about, back to David's story, about all of us in the kingdom of God here in Texas, us in Africa, serving and doing what God has set before us. Sometimes it feels like, oh, you know, here we go again. You know, got to do this, got to do that. If we're not doing something that doesn't cost us anything, it's just a contribution. You know, we have a joke in the church world, and we apply it into different currencies wherever we are in the world. And here it could be used for the dollar bill. There was money talking to one another, $100 bill, $20 bill, and a $1 bill. And the $100 bill was bragging, saying, I've been to restaurants, and I've been I've been put into the bank, and the $20 bill says, yeah, I've gone to the store and I've bought milk, and the $1 bill says, yeah, I've just gone to church. And the point of saying that is that $1 bill, if that's difficult for us to give, that's just as good as the $100 bill. But if all we're doing is just giving something that doesn't touch us, that doesn't cost us, it's just a contribution. And I don't want to just give a contribution to the kingdom. I want to give something that cost me something. And now as we're in this season of our lives, we're not old, but we're not 20-somethings anymore. The hardest part of what we do is leaving our children here and our grandchildren, not being able to be around for holidays or birthdays or seeing them grow up or be called to babysit, all those things that I really wish that I could do. That's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice. Not being able to, you know, be with the family when they're going through the things and offer the counsel. And I mean, we have iPhones and WhatsApp and iMessages and all of that, but it's not the same. It's not the same. But I want to give a sacrifice. I don't think that there's any sacrifice in the Old Testament, those sheep and goats that didn't go to the altar fighting because they knew that they were going to be called upon to give blood more than they were being called upon to just give an offering. And so we encourage you here today. I know that you have sacrificed to come this morning. Yeah. You've sacrificed to be part of this wonderful church. I just love your website. I kind of lurk under the radar and follow you guys. And I'm just so proud of what God is doing through you because of your sacrifice yeah. that you have given to the Lord for this part of the kingdom yeah. in this part of the world. And we rejoice with you. We rejoice with you because you're part of us. Like it or not, we're family. And so we're family working in the kingdom together, just in different parts of the house. So glad to be here. So there's more that you can read about us, and we're kind of boring in person. But if you go to the website up there, there's a book we wrote full of stories about what God has done. You scroll down, you can read on the resources page or down on the front page if you scroll down, if you're so inclined to read. There's a book available. And also there you can read more about the feeding projects and the different projects that we're doing right now, the things that are going on. But we're just here to tell you that there's good news. Mm-hmm. There's good news coming from the continent. We might be in the poorest country of the world, but some of the most wonderful people in the world are found where we are. And so we just want to say God bless you. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for being with us together in prayer. We thank you and appreciate you and your pastor so much. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Woo.
I'm not used to that.
Thank you, Princess Leia. Wonderful again to be here. You know, in the video, it was being recorded and put together only on the second day of the clinic. And by the end of the week, we were able to treat almost 3,000 people medically. Each and every person was taken to a side tent. We presented the gospel, and over 1,300 people gave their lives to Christ. And it was worth it. It's all about the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, seeing people come to Jesus. You know, that's sort of what I'd like to share this morning, and the title of my message is Be the Answer. Be the Answer. You might say, well, be the answer to what? I want to challenge us today to be the answer to our own prayers. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, in the New Living Translation, Matthew 9, verse 37, verse 38, he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus said that the harvest is great, but the problem is the workers are few. I believe the biggest reason why there are still millions and millions of people around the world who are not yet saved is a lack of workers. The problem is not a lack of harvest. The problem is a lack of harvesters. So in order for more harvest to be brought in, there needs to be more what? More harvesters. Well, how do we get more harvesters? We pray. Jesus said to pray. What do we pray for? We pray for more harvesters, because the more the harvesters there are, the greater the harvest will be. But let's not stop there with just praying. Starts with prayer, but it doesn't end with prayer. After we pray for more harvesters, let's go and bring the harvest in. Let's be willing to be the answer to our prayers. Let's allow God to use us as his harvesters. And if all of us in the body of Christ will let God use us as his harvesters, the problem with the lack of harvesters will be solved, and the end result will be an increase in the harvest. Huh? There will be a greater harvest that will be brought in. Again, the more the harvesters there are, the greater the harvest will be. You know, usually when someone is prayed for, we'll make a statement like this. Now, don't try to help God out. You know, God doesn't need our help. Just leave it in his hands. And usually that's true. Only God can heal the sick. Only God can set the captives free. Only God can do the impossible. But the prayer to ask God to send more workers into his fields is actually a different kind of prayer. I believe that's one prayer he doesn't mind us helping him answer. In fact, I believe helping him answer that prayer is what he wants us to do. Think about it for a moment. This is the one prayer we get to pray that God wants us to help him answer. So let's pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, will send harvesters into the harvest. And then let's be the answer to that prayer by being the harvesters that we are praying and asking God to send into the harvest. I love Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Again, the New Living Translation. Oh, I love this verse. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Wow. Can I just read that again? But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul is saying here, he said, I've been assigned a task from the Lord Jesus. And that task is to tell others the good news about the wonderful grace of God to save them. And he goes on to say, my life is useless. My life has no meaning. My life has no value unless I accomplish that task of bringing others to Christ. In other words, he's saying, unless I win souls and make disciples, my life is just one big fat zero. The only reason why I live, Paul is saying, the only reason I live is to save others. And what about you? What do you live for? I know everybody is busy going to work, busy going to school, busy taking kids to baseball practice, football practice, soccer practice, paying the bills. You know, I get it. But we're all surrounded every day by people at work. We're surrounded every day by people at school. We're surrounded every day by people at the practice field who need to be told the good news about the wonderful grace of God to save them. You know, in Bujumbura, where we live, Bujumbura, Burundi. Bujumbura, say that 10 times real fast, my wife just said. Bujumbura, Burundi. Bujumbura, Burundi. Bujumbura, where we live in an area of the city called Buyenzi. Buyenzi is about 60 to 70% Muslim. But It's probably the most densely populated part of our city with Muslims. And so we've got a program. Every Thursday, we go door to door telling people about Jesus. Still works, hallelujah. Going door to door telling people about Jesus. Telling the Muslims about Jesus. Anyone who will listen. Some listen, some don't. Those who don't, well, we just say, God bless you, we're moving on. But and many people are not home, you know, they're busy, they're in their fields, or they're at work, or they're at school, whatever they're busy doing. So we've written up a track. And the track is just a simple gospel message with a prayer to pray at the end of reading the track. And if they're not home, we slide the track under the door because our goal is to tell everybody in Buyenzi that Jesus loves them. To preach Christ. I estimate probably 15 to 20,000 homes in Buyenzi. And we started going door to door on the upper half of the 26th Avenue of Buyenzi. We've worked our way down and we're on 8th Avenue now. This has taken about 2 years. Systematically going door to door. We'll finish the 8th Avenue probably this week or next week. Start 7th Avenue all the way up to 1st Avenue until every person in Buyenzi has heard that Jesus loves them. And we've seen some amazing things in Muslim predominant area of town, Buyenzi. We have documented over a 2-year period, we have documented over 2,500 decisions for Christ. Just going door to door, telling people about Jesus once a week. But I believe evangelism is not necessarily a program we should follow once a week or once a month or whatever that might look like in each local church, but it should be a lifestyle. Not something we do every so often as a special program, but it should become who we are. You know, one of the challenges we have in Bujumbura, in the nation, Burundi, is there's no fuel. You complain about the price of fuel going up, at least you can get fuel. Praise God, you got fuel. We have no fuel. Well, it trickles in every now and then, but you see lines and lines of hundreds of cars of people waiting to get fuel and for days. And sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Well, this has forced us to have to walk, which is great. We have our health. Praise God. You can always find something to thank God for. We got our health, and so we've done some walking recently. And taking taxis. Well, it's just a great mission field. It's a great mission field. You get the taxi man and you start telling him about Jesus. You know what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if I'm preaching and telling people, hey, we're surrounded every day. We rub shoulders with people every day who need Jesus. I need to lead the way. So I found myself in taxi situation more than once here recently. And but before I get out of the car, I'm telling the taxi man about Jesus. And in the last couple weeks before we left to come on this trip, I led 2 taxi men to the Lord in about a span of just 1 week. And what I like about it is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. If we can put that up. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23. Again, the New Living Translation, it says, when I am with those who are weak, I share the weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Notice it says, Paul says, again, he says, I try to find common ground with everyone. I try to find something that some way I can relate to those I'm with. And so one of the things that the Lord has graced us to do is to learn the languages. And so, you know, for example, sharing with the taxi man, he's amazed. He's shocked. Here's a white man, a mzungu, a gringo, speaking Swahili. And he's like, what? You speak Swahili? I said, yeah, you know, we speak Swahili. He says, wow, you speak better Swahili than me. And I was born here, he says. I'm African. I said, yeah, well, I'm probably more African than you are. Some of these guys are young. You know, I'll be years old in a couple of months. I'll be 60 in December. And, you know, some of these guys I'm meeting, you know, I'm older than they are. And I'm like, you know, I'm older than you've been alive. are living here in Burundi. I've lived in Burundi longer than you have. You were just born yesterday. Man, I've been here for many years. And they're like, well, you speak Swahili? Yeah, I speak Swahili. Kirundi as well. Try to speak Kirundi in French. And they're like, whoa. Why? Because we try to find common ground. Somehow to relate to those God has brought into our life. And as we share Christ, they're open. They're ready. They're ready to hear. They're not rejecting. They're listening. Well, some do, but I mean, many are just, whoa, this guy can speak our language. And so I use the opportunity. I seize the moment and I share Christ. And before you know it, they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because Paul said, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I think we should all ask ourselves, when was the last time we shared the gospel with a friend, a colleague, someone at work, a classmate at school? Because in the words of the Apostle Paul, he says, my life is worth nothing to me. I'm a zero, he says, unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. I believe every one of us can say, this morning that the Lord has done some amazing things for us. So why are we quiet about it? Why do we not tell others about the great things he has done for us, how he has saved us, how he has forgiven us of our sins, how he has set us free, and how he has changed our lives? You see, that's all evangelism is telling others the wonderful, amazing things the Lord has done for us. Or as in the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. How can we be quiet? You know, and I'll end with this. In 2 Kings, chapter 6, and chapter 7, we have the story of the Syrian army has surrounded the city of Samaria. And for days, there was no going in or out of the city. The people were hungry. There was great famine inside the city. In fact, they were so hungry, the Bible says they were eating donkey heads, eating dove's dung, and even eating their own children. I mean, that's famine, right? And it says that there were four lepers sitting on the outside of the city at the city gates. And they were hungry too. And they said, you know what? Why are we just sitting here? If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go inside the cities and there's no food there, we're going to die. We got an idea. Let's go to the Syrian army. Maybe, just perhaps, they'll have mercy on us. They might give us something to eat. And it says, as those four lepers began to make their way to the Syrian army, camp somewhere not very far from the city of Samaria, it says that the Lord calls those four lepers to sound like an army. A huge army. They said, the Syrian army said, the king of Israel, he must have hired the Egyptian army. Now they're after us. And the Bible says they fled in panic. They were afraid. They were like, wow, we're gonna die. And all of us was four lepers. Four hungry lepers. See what God can do when you rise up and say, you know what? I'm not happy with my situation. If I sit here, I'm gonna die. If I go there, I'm gonna die. Let's take our chances over here. We're going to move forward. We're going to do something. And it says, when they did, the Lord caused them to hear the sound of a great army. And all it was four hungry lepers. And it says, when they got there to the enemy's camp, they looked around. There was nobody there. They'd all fled. And in their fleeing, they threw away their equipment and their weapons and their clothes and because they were afraid. They thought, well, that's it. We're dying. And it says that when these four lepers arrived at the enemy camp, they saw all this equipment and stuff scattered, and they saw their tents intact. And the Bible says they went into the first tent. They began to eat and drink. Woo! They took the silver and the gold. They went and hid it. They went into a second tent. They did the same thing. They began to eat and drink. They took the silver and the gold. They went and hid it. They went into about the third or fourth tent. And they said, wait, this is not good. In verse 9, 2 Kings 6, verse 9. Again, the New Living Translation, it says, finally they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news. And we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people. Hey, let's go and tell the people at the palace. Here's what I want to encourage us with today. Yes, there's lots of bad things happening around the world today. But let's not lose sight of the good things the Lord has done for us. Starting with his death, burial, and resurrection. This is a day of good news, and we need to be sharing it with others. What do you live for? Is it a career, to make lots of money, buy a house, and then what? These things in and of themselves are not bad, but if that's all you live for, you've misunderstood the real meaning of life. Our lives are worth nothing, Paul said. They're useless. They're meaningless. Unless we are pointing people to Jesus. Unless we are winning souls and making disciples. Because it's then and only then that our lives have any real value. So I would encourage us this morning, let's make ourselves valuable to God by making ourselves available for God. Huh? Let's make ourselves valuable to God by making ourselves available for God to use by telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God to save them. Can I have an amen this morning? Be the answer. Oh, well, you know, things are so bad. Yeah. Be the answer. Problem is not the harvest. The harvest is there. Jesus said it's white unto harvest. Harvest fields are just waiting and they're ready to be harvested. What we have a lack of are harvesters. And I believe as we begin to pray and ask God, send workers into the field. Send harvesters into the harvest. We just might perhaps get a burden ourselves. Huh? Yeah, Lord, I'll pray for that. But what about my neighbor? What about that taxi driver? What about that classmate? What about that mother or father I meet every day or nearly every day at the practice field? What about that lost soul? Lord, I can be the answer. I can be the harvester. Say, well, I've never been to Bible school. Don't have a theology degree. Well, God's done some amazing things for you, hasn't he? You're here today, aren't you? You're still standing. Thank God. You know, his mercies are new every day. Hey, his mercies are new every day. We woke up this morning because of his mercy. God is good all the time. It's not just a cliche. He's good. He's good all the time. He's done some amazing things. Just tell somebody. We're not doing right if we keep quiet. He's done some amazing things. So let's go and share with others and tell them, look what the Lord has done. You know, you might not be able to preach a 3-point sermon, lead in praise and worship, and take up an offering. That's okay. Just tell them about Jesus. That's all they're waiting for. They need hope. Oh my, do people need hope today? So much hopelessness. You can see it in people's eyes. People just without hope. But Jesus. He is the hope of glory. We've got it. Now let's go give him away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We can be here at Elevation Church to share, to encourage the body of Christ here, Lord, in Mansfield, Texas. But Lord, I'm also encouraging myself again, once again, Lord. May we not lose sight. May we keep the main thing, the main thing. Well, the reason why we do church is to win souls and make disciples. Lord, I bless this congregation this morning. I thank you for their heart for missions. Lord, I thank you for their faithful support monthly, month in and month out. Lord, when the economy's not doing so well, but yet, God, they're willing to make that sacrifice. Bless them and bless them real good. Bless their pastors. Bless their staff, the elders, the leadership, and every congregant, every member of Elevation Church. We speak a blessing over them. We speak a word of encouragement to them. And Lord, we rise up and we take that challenge. We learn from those four lepers this morning. Lord, we're going to move forward. We're going to go into the enemy's camp. And Lord, we're going to see you do some amazing things. You're going to turn the situation around for us personally. Lord, as a congregation, things will change. Things will be transformed. Lord, like the city of Samaria, in 24 hours, things changed. Because of four obedient leprous men, the city was saved. Great revival came. Great prosperity came to the city because of four men who were obedient. Lord, I thank you for a church full of obedient members who won't stay quiet. Lord, you've done some amazing things, and they're ready, and they're going to move forward, and they're going to tell others about Jesus, making a difference in Mansfield, Texas. Here in America, the nations of the world, as they partner with us, Lord, through missions and other missionaries. Lord, other missionaries that are doing great things around the world. They've set their hearts to partner with. Lord, you said to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Lord, they're doing it through their missions giving and preaching and telling others about Jesus right here in their own city. We bless them this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.